So my brothers and sisters, with the help of the good Lord, the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to speak from the subject, strongholds we struggle with. Strongholds we struggle with. As we look at the text once again, I couldn't help but notice how Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth. As he does so in the first stanza, chapter number 4, verse 8 and 9, he begins to present some problems to us. And my brothers, as I think about this, the reason why I was so excited and I said that whoever would listen, make sure you start a party, make sure you invite your friends, make sure you let everyone know, whoever it is, you need to get them on the line. If you're on YouTube, make sure you invite somebody, get them on the phone, whatever you got to do. Make sure they don't miss this message. Make sure that you get as many people as possible on today to listen to this message. I'm telling you, this will be life altering. This will be life changing. This is a message that you want as many people to listen to. Strongholds we struggle with. This is all inclusive. This is something we all have, strongholds. And so when I look at this, my brothers and sisters, I was so excited about it that on Wednesday night, after we got off our Bible study and God was continually giving me what he wanted me to say to you, by Thursday, I was ready to preach. So I'm going to go ahead on. I got so much in me. Y'all bear with me. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will hold me down because I'm ready to take off. I'm not even on a plane today. I'm on a rocket. And the boosters, you know, the countdown is already going. 10, 9, 8. It's already ready to go. So let's look at it right here. Verse number 8. The first thing that I see, my brothers and sisters, the place of the problems. The place of the problem. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The place, we are troubled. Problems. Trouble means to be pressed upon, to afflict, to come into the place of service. One would think that when we are busy serving the Lord, that troubles should be few. We can understand when troubles come on the path of sin, but experiencing trouble on the path of obedience, on the path of duty, is hard to take. But Paul, who has performed great service of the Lord, is the one who is troubled here. So Paul is saying, we are troubled. In other words, he says, I'm pressed, I'm afflicted, even when I'm doing service, even when I'm doing good, even when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I still have trouble. And I'm coming to tell somebody today that it means to you, and it means to me, that even when you do the right thing, it does not mean that you're not going to have trouble. Paul, a servant of God, Paul, a missionary of God, Paul, the one that wrote all of these letters, is telling us that even when you do the right thing, you still gonna have some trouble. So don't think that you are exclusive out of the will of trouble. Trouble is common to all men. He says, we are troubled. That's the place of the problem. But then, not only do I see the place of the problem, I'm going to hurry on. Look at the next thing that I see. I see the plenitude of the problems. Look at the plenitudes of the problem. He said, not only are we troubled, but we're troubled on every side. In other words, he says, what he's telling to you, my brothers and my sisters, is that no matter where you serve the Lord, in every area of your ministry, there will be problems. It doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how you do it, when you do it, you will find problems. Now, this message really and truly was actually dedicated to pastors, but it actually can fit anybody that's serving in the church. He's really was talking to pastors. A pastor will often find that there is no place in his ministry at a church that does not have vexing problems, but it is also true for those that serve. It doesn't matter if you're on the deacon board, whether you're on the usher board, doesn't matter if you're singing the choir, doesn't matter if you're the musician, it doesn't matter if you're just somebody that just come in and you're trying to help, doesn't matter if you're the janitor or you're the cook, there's going to be problems. He says you're troubled on every side. Yeah. Well, y'all going to help me in here today? He just in this one verse, my brothers and sisters, he begins to let us know we are troubled. And then we're troubled on every side. But not only does he talk about the place, not only does he talk about the plenitude, but he gives us some particulars. That's the third thing I see. Look at the particulars of the problem. He says, we are perplexed. The word perplexed means to be at a loss of what to say or do. We're perplexed. Anybody ever been perplexed before? You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. Often in ministry, you come to a place where you simply don't know what to say or what to do because of the troubles and the problems that are present. Matter of fact, we're in a COVID-19 pandemic. And because of COVID-19, we're perplexed. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. Matter of fact, if I'll be honest, transparent, and tell you the bold face truth, several of my members were infected with the COVID-19 virus. I don't know how they got it. I don't know how we all contracted the virus. I was perplexed. Didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do, but I had gotten problems from every side, and every week it seemed like somebody else was calling and saying, Pastor, I'm positive. Next week, the phone would ring, Pastor, I'm positive. Next week, somebody else called, three more people positive. Didn't know what to do. I was troubled on every side. He says, not only were he perplexed, but then it goes on. Look at verse number 9. He says that we are persecuted. Oh, it's getting heavy in here. Persecuted. Persecution is serious. It's not trivial. It's not a trivial trial. Persecution can be life-threatening. And it was certainly in Paul's case, both as the persecutor and as one being persecuted. Y'all remember Paul? Paul was the one who was once Saul that was persecuting Christians. But now, as a converted Christian, he's the one that's being persecuted. And so he's now gone from persecutor to being persecuted. And he says, as we live our life, because we have trials and tribulations, because we're troubled on every side, we're persecuted. We're persecuted, but the good news is we're not forsaken. And that gives me joy right there. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And even though we get into some life-threatening situations, it's good to know that God hasn't forgotten about you. And you ought to give God a shout right there to let him know that, God, I know that I'm going through some persecution right now, but thanks be to God, I'm not forsaken. Next word says, I'm cast down. That word cast down means to be put down. This is a picture of a person being overtaken by your persecutors or your pursuers and thrown to the ground. when your troubles get so much that your pursuers catch up to you and they push you down. It's almost like the weight of the world has pressed you down to the point that you're cast down. But I like the next verse. It says that I'm not destroyed. And if you will, Sister Zachary, if you could, bring up verse number 10 for them to see. 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I like that. It's pain, always bearing about in the body. It's pain. He says, this pain that I have, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. I like that. My brothers and sisters, he lets me know that even though it gets hard, I'm not forsaken. I'm not forsaken because of this plenitude of problems. But let me hurry on. Not only is there a plenitude of problems, there's also preservation in the problems. Preservation in the problems, in all these troubles, God preserved Paul. Paul describes his preservation in four ways. Go back to verse 8 and 4 and 8. He says, number one, I'm not distressed. I'm troubled on every side, yet I'm not distressed. I've been pressed on every side, but I'm not distressed. It means, I've been pressed in, but not distressed means not to be cramped beyond movement. Somebody gonna get it in a minute. That is, though one is crowded, I still have room to maneuver. I'm pressed, but I still can move a little bit. Do I have a witness? That's the one thing that he says about this trouble. You got me cramped, but I still can move. He goes on, he says, I'm perplexed, but not in despair. It says, we may not know what to do or say for a while, but trouble don't last always. Do I hear some help up in here? Because God comes to our rescue. Y'all know the verse, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. So that's why he says, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. He says in verse number 9, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Do I have some help up in here? You see, when we're persecuted, we wonder where God is. And in truth, God is still with us because he says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And that's why he says, I'm not forsaken. And then he says, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Do I have a witness? The enemy had caught up with Paul and knocked him down, but they couldn't destroy him because he still had work to do. And I want to talk to somebody that's out there listening and somebody that's out there worshiping. You've been knocked down, but you haven't been knocked out. Do I have a witness? Tell somebody, I'm an almost.
They almost got me. They almost made me give up. They almost made me lose my mind. But the Lord revived me. The Lord picked me up, dust me off, turned me around, and told me to keep on going, because I still got work to do. He says, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me hurry on. My fourth point is, as we look at the fourth point today, even though I see the place of the problem, I see the plenitude of the problem, I see the preservation in the problem, now I see the thorn and the problem. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. After all of these problems, the Lord gives me a thorn. My God, why would God give me a thorn even though I'm having problems? The Lord would mess around and give me a thorn in my problems. Well, there's a purpose of the thorn. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. It says, God balances our blessings with our burdens. Somebody gonna get it in a minute. It says God has to balance our blessings and our burdens, because we'll become prideful of our blessings. So God sends burdens with your blessings. Oh, shucks. Somebody gonna get it. You see, God knows how to balance us. Otherwise, we'll get too heady and we'll tip right over. So God want to keep your balance, because if he blesses too much, the blessings will cause you to sin. And God want to keep you upright. So every now and then, God got to send a burden your way just to level you out. Do I have a witness in here? So that's the purpose of your thorn. But then, not only is there a purpose of the thorn, there's pain in the thorn. I feel like preaching. I told you I was on my rocket today. And the pain, it says, and the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. See, the thorn in this case was a physical problem and pain. See, many guesses have been made regarding what this thorn in the flesh was. But Paul never discloses what it was, which was a good thing. For if others experienced this problem, they would have caused them to draw the wrong conclusions. See, because God gives us different types of thorns. And I'm so glad that Paul didn't say what thorn was in his flesh, because somebody would have said, I got the same thorn that Paul got. But God, he uses different thorns. And your thorn is different from my thorn. And my thorn is different from your thorn, but he uses the thorn to buffet us. And whatever pain God uses to balance you, you ought to thank God for the thorn.
Yes. Come on now.
Then, not only see I see the purpose, not only do I see the pain, but then, because we're human, I see a plea. Yes, the plea. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that he might allow it to depart from me. Verse number 8, Paul pleaded with God for the removal, the painfulness of the thorn will help us not to envy those who seem to have so much going for them.
They also have many thorns painting them, which we would not want to experience. And Paul said, Lord, please, please, please remove the thorn. But I'm so glad, my brothers and sisters, that God gave him an answer in verse number 9, and it was the provision for the thorn. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God will provide the help for you to live with your thorn. He did not remove the thorn, but gave him the help to live with the thorn. God's help is twofold. First, it is sufficient. In other words, it is adequate. God will not disappoint. Second, God's help is strong. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's help is strong enough to give us the victory in the midst of every trial and to help us through every day to do every duty in spite of the thorn. So my brothers and sisters, as I get ready to get out of here this morning, the question is, what are the strongholds we struggle with? If not all, I dare to say, at least most Christians have had to deal with some kind of a stronghold within their individual life, which they had to struggle with time and time again. The Apostle Paul certainly had this, and we have ours as well. For some, it may be a particular temptation of some kind or another that keeps aggravating them. It may be a subconscious fear of some thought that endeavors to control the mind, such as fear of failure, the fear of old age, the fear of major health problems. For some, it may be the tormenting doubt that disturbs and hinders them in their spiritual walk. For some, it may be the frustrating sense of guilt regarding some activity or deed in their past. For others, it may be a feeling of inadequacy to properly and adequately fulfill their responsibilities of life. And for others, it may be a deepening concern over an unknown and uncertain future. Or it can be an adverse situation within their home or on their job that just won't go away. But we all have struggles and strongholds that we struggle with. Your stronghold may be your temper or your nerves or your burdens or your lack of education or your limited finances or your unruly children or your pesky neighbors or a host of other things that cause you embarrassment or humiliation or frustration. And for those who struggle with a stronghold, denying that it exists only creates more deeper frustration. Yeah. talking about it seems to bring only casual or partial satisfaction. And even praying about it seems to offer very little relief, if at all any. And just a stubborn stronghold that are forced to deal with time and time again, often on a daily basis, seems like it don't provide much relief. But I want to talk to somebody that really want to deal with the stronghold. Do I have a witness in here? If not careful, a person can allow a stronghold to get out of control, and it will eventually end up stealing their joy and happiness, hurting their personal relationships, controlling their actions and activities, and molding their attitudes and personalities, and weakening their faith and trust in God, and eventually end up tormenting their mind and even in their thoughts. And if not careful, a stronghold can also end up hindering their ministry, no matter whether they be a minister or a gospel singer, a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, or any other ministry. As I've stated, nearly everybody has a struggle with some kind of stronghold within their life. No matter whether you're rich or poor, black or white, young or old, male or female, healthy or sick, educated or not, whether you're single or are you married? And for most, it doesn't seem to matter how hard they endeavor to overcome it. It still remains. Yes, for baldness, there are hair transplants. For freckles, there's makeup. For scars, there's plastic surgery. For deafness, there's hearing aids. For cataracts, there's retina implants. For insomnia, there's sleeping pills. For overweight, there's dieting programs. But all one can do with a stronghold is to live with it. Do I hammer with it and admit that is not always easy to do, but I got five suggestions that can help you. Here's number one. If possible, accept your whole stronghold as your friend. Do I have a witness? And not necessarily as an enemy. Many people have taken their disadvantage and turned it into an advantage for them. That's the first thing. Number two, realize that you're not alone. Everyone you meet and associate with are also in some way dealing with a stronghold. Do I have a witness? Number three, acknowledge that God is fully aware of the stronghold that you struggle with, and that, as it was for the Apostle Paul, God's grace is sufficient for you too. Number four, don't allow your mind to constantly dwell on your stronghold. The more you think about it, the worse it becomes. I got good news. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do I have any witnesses in the house today? That's the fourth thing. And the fifth thing, as I go to my seat, also realize that if you will but allow him, God can and will use your stronghold to keep you humble and therefore submissive to his will and plan for your life.
Do I have a witness? Why would he do it, Pastor? Why would he do it, preacher? You see, most of us are strong-willed people, and it requires us struggling with a stronghold in order for us to submit to God's ways and to God's word. Because we're strong-willed, we want to do it our way. So sometimes God has to send a stronghold in our life. But don't give up. God will see you through. If you keep your trust and confidence in him, he will not let you down. I'm out of here today when I tell you, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58 said, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Is there anybody have some strongholds that you've been struggling with, been trying to get rid of it, don't want to deal with it? Well, I'm trying to tell you, accept the stronghold, make it your friend, make it your buddy, turn it into a positive thing, because he said, my grace is sufficient. Anybody know that his grace is sufficient? Paul asked three times, Lord, get rid of it. He didn't do anything. He asked him again, Lord, get rid of it. He never said a mumbling word. He asked him one more time, Lord, please, please get rid of it. He didn't say nothing. But then the Lord spoke. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I don't know what your weakness is, but I know what my weakness is. So all I gotta do is pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you already know about me. You made me inside out. You know what I struggle with. So keep me humble and keep me balanced, because I know if you keep me humble and you keep me balanced, I can do a mighty work for you. And I know you may not move it, you may not take it away, but you can use it for your glory. Is there anybody out there? Thank God for your stronghold. Is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ain't he all right? That problem that you thought you couldn't solve, you turn it over to the Lord and he worked it out. And one of these old days, I say one of these old days, soon and very soon, you're gonna put on your white robe and tell a story how you made it over. Didn't get everything you wanted, but you got what you needed. Ain't he all right? Say yes, yes, oh yes.
Oh yes, oh yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
The stronghold,
yes,
that we struggle with. I don't know what your strongholds are, but you gotta admit that you got them. Don't constantly dwell on them. Allow God to work a miracle in your life.